Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to the first official Major League Baseball off-season episode. I know it's been a couple of weeks where we, as Toronto Blue Jays fans, have unfortunately already been dealing with the off-season, but here we are. All the rest of the teams are finally part of the off-season after the Texas Rangers win their first ever World Series championship. Jason Lyons is joining me this evening. How are we doing, my friend?
Really good, buddy. Or last week, as much as I'm not a Rangers fan, anytime anybody breaks a drought like that, it's good. It's funny, you know, when the Cubs broke their drought, there was like, you know, people were going out in the streets and buying Cubs hats, and you know, Eddie Vedder was there. There's all kinds of fun stuff. Texas wins, and
Bill Murray.
They cut to like George Bush at his house, like, you know, like it. Totally different things. Yeah, totally different things. I mean, I'm happy for them. It gives a lot of franchises that make good moves a chance, you know, inside their fans' heads that they might actually pull one up.
Canucks! The Canucks! The Canucks!
But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's nice to see they played dominant baseball. I mean, every time the Diamondbacks thought they were getting any kind of traction, Corey Seager and Simeon just smashed it right down their throats. That Carter, that left fielder, holy, that guy's a stud.
And that one's interesting because that's their Vlad, right?
Yeah.
Or their Bo Bichette. He's their guy. They didn't even expect him to play in the majors this year. And he not only joined them in the majors, but was a massive contributor.
Huge coming out party. It was good to see. I mean, I dislike the old Rangers. I have to say that. I don't mind this version of the Rangers. I've always been a Corey Seager fan. Anybody who's that big, that's in that Ellie De La Cruz height level, that can play shortstop as well as he does. And he just makes it look like, I mean, he looks like Trey Turner, but he's, you know, he's 6'6". It's amazing. And holy, does he swing with purpose. Like, you think Vladdy swings hard. Good Lord. Like, Corey Seager is a textbook example of what to swing at when you're ahead in the count. Like, he often feels like he's ahead in the count, and he crushes.
I'm going to put it back on an old Texas Ranger here and a former Blue Jay as well. I think he follows the Jose Canseco principle of swing hard in case you hit it.
Yep, in case it's there. Yep.
So, but to that point, I'm surprised it ended the way it did. Usually good pitching beats good hitting, and that's what was just enough good pitching wise for the Texas Rangers too, because I never in a million years figured the offensive momentum that the Arizona Diamondbacks carried into this series were ever going to fall off like they did.
I mean, but they're so good, man. I mean, they are going to, it's going to be the Orioles and them for a little while here, I think. It was nice to see the Diamondbacks get over the hump this year and continue to push forwards. I mean, as a Blue Jays fan, watching Gabby Moreno turn into the A++ premier catcher in the league really rakes me. And then to see Kevin Gausman crybabying about Varsho not getting a gold glove today, maybe he should have watched the remainder of the playoffs and then realized what the Jays gave up to get Dalton Varsho, who by no means, I think, deserved a gold glove this year. But it was really nice to see Gabby get over, you know. And has there ever been a team that had a worst pitching name group than the Diamondbacks? One of the guys' names is like, I mean, it's unreal. They bring another guy out every single time, and you're like, It's how many vowels is in that guy's name? Like, I mean, that's not right. And then the
next guy, by an eye.
Yeah, it's. I don't know. It was. Though it was the least watched World Series in a long time, I thought for entertainment value, it was an excellent series. I thought both teams played well. And again, you know, it's really nice to see some of those Corbin and those other guys come out and the whole world get to see them. You know, Vladdy's done it. Bo's done it, where the world finally gets to see them. They get out of Toronto or wherever they are and under the bright lights. And it's nice to see them shine. Like Corbin Carroll was what? Like he hit like 800 in the World Series or something goofy. Like that.
Like Paul Molitor, just going to say,
you know, and even Evan Longoria, you know, old man River at third base there. I know he had to drag a walker out a few times to make a couple of plays, but I mean, you know, he looked great too. So, I mean, it was a fun series to watch. I'm glad it's over. But yeah.
Longoria was the guy they needed on that team, though. That got him over the hurdle as a veteran presence in that dugout. And then you throw in the guys we just had mentioned, and then the secret sauce that they clearly have going on there a little bit. And Corbin Carroll is going to be a perennial all-star. The guy, honestly, I mentioned the name a minute ago, but I don't know if you caught it. He reminds me of Paul Molitor.
Oh, yeah. And hits. 100%.
Grit. Yeah. And the combination of bat speed and hitting and, you know, all that other good stuff and actual speed. Screams that kind of a player for me.
He's what every
comparison's more about Kenny Lofton.
Oh God, that's a good one too.
I don't know.
I might even go Kenny Lofton more than that's a really good comparison, actually. The other one I thought of just watching him was Andrew Jones. I always thought Andrew Jones, Andrew Jones was always like he was just such a gamer all the time. And Corbin Carroll is going to he'll be a first ballot. Unless something weird happens and he blows his leg out or his back or something. Yeah, or baseball happens. But I mean, honestly, every kid that's out there, and I mean, you know, my kids were in the same boat where they don't get to see a lot of these guys. And we saw these guys in spring training when we were down in Arizona. And I mean, talk about living up to the hype. He's great with the kids. I watched him after the one game. He was out there for like 45 minutes signing autos. Like, I mean, he doesn't have to do that. And Gabby Moreno's insane. I don't know if you know this or not, but when we were at spring training, he played three innings. We watched him play the three. He was out. He literally signed from the second he walked out. He tried to watch. He's in the dugout. He's supposed to be helping out with the other pitchers. But he literally signed every kid's thing that came down and got even close to him. He'd reach up. He even had guys going up on stools to grab stuff and get it and sign it and put it back up. So kudos to the Diamondbacks, even though they lost. And, onward to the offseason.
So we're going to talk really quickly Gold Gloves. There was a gentleman you just mentioned that actually won a Gold Glove in his rookie season the other day.
From Arizona?
Did you see Gabby won a Gold Glove?
Yeah, he was a finalist? I didn't want to bring it up.
I had to. It's salt on a wound right now. It already hurts for Blue Jays fans.
Yeah, it hurts my heart.
It's only hurting it more.
Yeah. What can you
do? So let's talk good news for Blue Jays fans is we did get three Gold Glovers this year, Jason. And unfortunately, one of them's two of them are free agents. That would be the catch. One of them is a high likelihood, I think, of coming back. We'll get to that in a little bit because this is the off-season preview show that we're going to be talking through here tonight. But Matt Chapman wins one. Jose Berríos and Kevin Kiermaier wins, I think, his third.
Yeah, all three very deserving. You know, Berríos might be the best fielding pitcher at his position in the whole game. I mean, there's not a lot of guys that get off the mound and make plays like he does. I also find that he beats the play to first base more significantly. Just knows the game well. He's a student of the game. I mean, Chapman.
Somebody practices PvP.
Chapman's possibly the most sound third baseman in the game right now. Not a lot of balls get by him. So he definitely deserves. And then Kiermaier, I mean, good for him. You know, like he patrolled center field like a hawk. He had a great season. I'm a little disappointed that that the Jays didn't throw him a bone in any kind of way. But I think that
it's early.
It is early. And so we may see some, you know, some skullduggery in the next couple of months where they're trying to get guys back that, you know, that they don't want to put a qualifying to. Like, I mean, you know, we're going to talk about the Chapman qualifying, but I mean, I've looked at some of the qualifying offers that are out there to some of these guys that are free agents, and they're a joke. They're not even close. But again, I didn't realize what a bargain Matt Chapman was this year. You know,
$12.5 million for a gold glover, and everybody was getting on him for what his bat was doing. And honestly, for what you paid, you got the glove.
Yeah, and you got the bat. Sometimes you got the bat. You know, like he had 2 months there where he was just crushing the baseball, and just like you said,
let me drop this one on you. What if you didn't have his bat in April and May?
Say goodbye to even the milky playoff game.
We wouldn't have even been. Yeah, that's where I was going.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a feeling you would agree with me on that.
You end up being 6 or 7 games out, maybe more.
Yeah. So, because it would have been an embarrassment at that point. He carried the offense for the month of April. Really was no rhyme reason or any reason to be ulterior to that. But
no. Hey, 100%.
Is what it is. It's a team effort, right?
Yep.
So they might have not gotten all the way there. It was a team loss just as much as it was anything.
100%.
So on that note, let's just dive into it, Jason, unless there's something else you want to talk on those couple of topics there before we go on to obviously talking off-season baseball here.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously the elephants in the room are the guys that they didn't sign. We can talk a little bit about those. I'd like to talk about Chapman's a good one. I mean, the offer was 20.3, I think, which is a decent raise, but he will make more than that, probably significantly more than that. There's lots of teams that need a third baseman. You and I talked just before we came on about the fact that the Jays have decent depth at third base. So, I mean, I like that they made the qualifying offer. We can scoop up a draft pick. But, you know, there's something inside me that not dissimilar to, you know, Kevin Kiermaier, or I would like to see him stay. I mean, I think that I think he proved himself as being a Jay and wanting to stay a Jay. I think if they had pumped that offer up just even a little bit, you might be able to. But I mean, are they looking to the future and saying, you know, maybe Martinez or Barger, we're going to let you guys, we're just going to throw meat in the cage and see what happens in spring training? Like, what's his name? Dom Lasagna Spaghetti, the kid from Surrey.
Rafael Latigua.
Yeah, no, it's Dom. I can't even say his name. I can't even try.
I'll see if I
can
get the prospects up.
It's Dominic Papa Tupa Tapa Papa Papa. It's like the most Italian name ever. Anyways, he played for the Seas last year for a little bit, and then he was gone.
That's a little bit off, I think.
He won the home run derby at the in the Mexican League.
The AFL kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dominic, why am I blanking on his
Palma name? Jerry? Palma Jerry, I think it's this.
I'll find it.
Yeah. Anyways, I mean, he's a first baseman, though. But I feel like, you know, there are definitely some holes that we may be able to fill from the farm. So, I mean, that could be the thinking. You know, I know that they want to get one more big bat, and my thinking is that they're going to maybe go back to the well on somebody that's been a Jay, or else they're taking a chance somewhere else. Like I still think there's a possibility for Gurriel. He's a UFA, is he not, or is he's available?
He is technically an unrestricted free agent. I'm assuming that he might go back to Arizona, but we're in that wonderful part of the ballpark in the off season here that qualifying offers are the only thing that needs to be on the table right now.
Yeah. And we can make up all kinds of crap. We can throw all kinds of crap at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Maybe Jose Canseco's coming back just to be that.
Well, how about just throw a total? How about to throw a total insane thing out there? How about Vladdy gets traded in the offseason?
Who knows? It really right now, I don't know where this team is going. And that's kind of where I wanted to focus on a little bit this evening, as we're going to talk just really quickly who we are definitely, at least are technically on paper, lost at this point, Jason. Hyunjin Ryu, Matt Chapman, Brandon Belt, Kevin Kiermaier, Whit Merrifield and Jordan Hicks are technically in the free agent pool as we speak. You did mention that we did extend as the Blue Jays a qualifying offer to Matt Chapman, but that's the only thing that's happened so far. All those other names are technically gone. So the roster is down six people right now on our 25-man roster.
Ryu and Hicks are both ones that I'm kind of disappointed in. I actually like Jordan Hicks quite a bit. And it's hard to get somebody that averages three numbers. You know, he had some struggles, and when guys catch up to him, they don't stay in the yard. But I feel like he had enough on his off-speed stuff that if he had gone to the Chapman school of how to learn how to throw the ball as you get a little older, he may have been able to really, you know, do some damage. He will wherever he lands. He's a good pitcher.
Correct. I have a strange feeling out of those names that I just rattled off, he is actually the one that has the most likely of a chance of coming back. Mm-hmm. The other argument I would make is Kevin Kiermaier. Because now we do not have jack and or shit for outfield options in our minor league system. No. Especially center field right now. If you are looking at what our minor league system depth looks like and the fact that who we could be bringing up as an outfielder, you're probably talking about moving Varsho or Springer back to center field and getting somebody to play left field, whether that's Kevin Biggio. But there's a whole other problem with Kevin Biggio that we got to talk to too here. And that same lump of people we were just talking about, he might be not left field, but the everyday second baseman. So there's those kind of things that are going on as well. But there's some guys that could play left field for us. I look at Spencer Horowitz, who had just a great season in AAA, but never really got that chance to really put especially his offensive talents on display for the Blue Jays. I think everybody got that glimpse, kind of just like what we saw from the Buffalo Boys, but there is a chance there. But to that point, maybe Biggio, is your left fielder, and maybe Davis Schneider is your all-day second baseman.
Yeah.
So there's some moving parts in the Blue Jays system that I think, regardless of what's going on, they could fill any of these holes that we were just talking about from those gentlemen that were on that list. But Jason, is that how they really want to attack it after a team season where they were running this all the way until the wheels fall off? Unfortunately, the wheels fell off, I think, in game one of the Wild.
I mean, you know, and if you go and take a look at some of the potential free agent outfielders, it's weird because it's all sort of a class of people that we know or that are one degree removed from the Jays. You know, you've got your Cody Bellingers, and you've got your Lourdes Gurriel Juniors, and you've got, you know, a few guys out there. There's no real diamonds in the rough, but there are some guys that seriously improved their games this year. And, you know, Lourdes is only, what, about 27 or something like that? So he's not, you know,
he's one of the younger ones on this list.
But, you know,
one of the younger ones on this list.
It's, you know, and I think that and Teoscar, he's obviously, you know, in the highest part of the ranking of the guys that are available. But I think my brain works.
I got one for you.
Oh, hit me.
I just think I looked at the most Blue Jays move on the planet.
Yeah,
let me hear it. Skimming through this list, Harrison Bader, center field.
Yeah, I mean, he could at least grow his hair back out and look like a normal human again. Like, geez, Louise, he talk about if he's not the most unrecognizable guy. There's three. As soon as they went to the Yankees, it was like I don't even that guy needed to change his driver's license picture. Bader. Andrew McCutchen, he had to cut off all his dreads to go there. Like, years of growing those dreads just
out. Not the metro culture.
And then Rudnes Odor was the most. I mean, that guy
I didn't even know it was the same guy.
Unrecognizable. And they said his name. I remember watching a game and I was like, there's another guy named Odor? Like, how? That's not possible. But if you're
listening to it on Yankee feed like me, you just assume that Michael K just butchered his first name and last
name. Yeah, just some dude up in the DR. But it's, you know, I think that this is the time where we can spitball a lot and we can really start to see the you know, the made up trades and the you know, the hope we cans and the wish we coulds and all the rest of that. And it's so early that you don't know what the Jays are going to do. You don't know who they're going to throw a bone to. I mean, the guys like David Schneider, like, holy, like, to not use him in those two playoff games, to have the season that he had, and then the biggest question marks are, can he even come close to that on a regular basis for a whole year? Kevin Biggio has made, in my estimation, has probably jumped up the highest level of that group of guys. But, you know, all of the Buffalo club that came up, they all, you know, have shown some real moxie in the way that they cracked the lineup and held the Jays together. So all of those guys are going to get a shot. And then, like I said, you know, Barger and Martinez, they're both going to get a shot. And I mean, who knows? You know, maybe the way that they need to go is they need to stop messing around and start sticking with some of the youth and the guys that, you know, like a couple of years ago when they did go with Bo and Vladdy and Biggio and all that. And then they sort of let it get off the rails with some weird picks and some weird additions and stuff like that. Maybe just stick with the cupboard. It's the, you know, the devil you know is sometimes better than the devil you don't know.
Yeah, well, to be this person, you know, that horrible thing that just seemed too Blue Jays of a move to me. SportTrack.com is predicting that Harrison Bader is going to get $15 million this year. In a contract. That's a $10 million raise. And I'm kind of sitting here going, for what?
I mean, he was awful.
I honestly think that was just as much the Yankees system as it was anything else. But this is a guy that was third round pick, 100th overall in 2015. And he was predicted by every scout to be a top 25 prospect.
Yeah.
For all those years he was in. So, like I said, the nice thing about that is he's not going to be 30 until opening day. So he's in that same ballpark we were just talking about with bringing Gurriel back. But then at least he's a center fielder that has good defense.
Yeah.
So this could be a higher upside KK.
Yeah. Or else, possibly. I mean, or else I like the fact that there is KK and there is an opportunity probably to throw him a bone and he would probably stay. He's already moved. He's got his family there. And you know, he really did entrench himself with the fans. So he's a guy
predicted that to get the same salary as he got last year. So
Which is what? Eight, 9 million. Do it right now. Like, come on. Who are you kidding? Like, why wouldn't you qualify him? Like, it's silly. Anyways.
Well, that kind of price you don't pay the qualifying is otherwise you just got to pay him $20 million when he currently accepts it.
Right. Exactly. Right.
But to that point, the other outfielders, like you said, on this list are, I can't say any reason worth the money that they would want outside of maybe Cody Bellinger,
which again,
and that would be a sneaky move, but you're talking a lot of money to bring Cody Bellinger in, a risk too, I think.
Well, I mean, who are you going to get? You're going to get, cause there's Dodgers Cody Bellinger. And then there was last year's Cody Bellinger. And then there was that dude who was around for a year and change in between.
Every other year Cody Bellinger. He is the most Giants-esque player.
Yeah. He's it's crazy his ups and downs. But I mean, with guys like that, you know, the payoff can be very high, and so sometimes you take a floater.
Yeah, and honestly, the only thing that really changed is his slugging percentage last year.
Yeah.
If you project the stuff out from the year prior to that. And where he sprinkles in a few more hits, a few more home runs, it would have been a very, very similar looking season. His, you know, percentage numbers are not far from each other. You talk for his main pieces of his career, it's kind of on top of each other.
Yeah. But
going from a .210 batting average all the way to a .307 is a slight jump.
Just a bit. Just
then, like you said, 3 years from, you know, after basically being in every commercial with Christian Yelich, which, by the way, same guy. Yeah. That, you know, MVP, and here we are, and he finally looked like that last year, getting close to 100 RBIs again.
Yeah.
So the Blue Jays offense, if you put him in around Bo and Vlad, it might look a lot different. It might look more like that.
Yeah. It's as crappy as it is for the Jays to have not been involved in the rest of the playoffs. It is sort of fun to start to move the chess pieces around and start to get creative. You know, it'd be interesting 2 months from now to just sort of lay out an infield and an outfield and a batting order and sort of see where you land with these different things. But, you know, and then you've got question marks. I mean, did Dalton Varsho do enough to like to even stay on the regular roster? Like, I mean, I'm not joking when I say that. Like, I wish I wasn't.
It hurts. But
it's a real question. Like, he's going to have to come out of it, go into training camp hard and earn a position, because I mean, he's going to have the specter of the trade hanging over him forever. And then,
especially now,
And so he's got to go out and crush it. And I don't know if he's got it in him. So, I mean, maybe that creates its own situation, but I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm going to point this out to you here too, because as we talked about that free agent list, there is technically an opening at second base right now.
Yeah.
You want to take a wild guess who the top second baseman, according to SportTrack, is right now on the free agent market?
Oh, are you looking at it? It's probably not a very good one. No, I'm not.
Because it kind of hurts.
Oh, really?
It's like, yep, that ain't ever happening.
Oh, who is it?
It's Adam Frazier, a guy that destroys the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you never know. He may do so well. You know, that might be a good one, because it may be the rare air in Toronto that he likes so well. I mean,
it very well could be like that. And to that point, I like Adam Frazier, and honestly, it's a nice way of stealing somebody from the Baltimore Orioles here that they like too, and maybe force their hand a little bit to hurry up and just bring up Jackson Holliday to play second base at short. I don't know, but on that note, it's Adam Frazier and freaking really falls off a cliff from there. Brad Miller being the next best guy.
I don't even know who that is.
That was my point. Who?
Yeah.
Okay, Star-Lord.
Sorry, Brad Miller. If you ever want to be on the cast, we'll have you.
It's a little different at third base. At least there's some other guys, but like I said, they fall off of a cliff pretty quickly. And based on last year's salaries alone, there was technically two guys getting paid more than Matt Chapman, who is obviously part of the free agent class that we just talked about. That is Justin Turner and Evan Longoria. I don't see any reason in hell why the Blue Jays would bring in one of those two gentlemen. I would say if we only had one minor league option at third base, but we have two. And technically, we could find some other ways to even get some other things going, I think. But you have Aralvis Martinez and Addison Barger that could play third base and are both shortstops and third basemen by trade.
Yep.
That, like I said, if I had one chance for a rookie to fail, maybe I'm thinking one of those guys.
Yeah.
But when I have two guys, I'm going to be shocked if the Blue Jays don't do anything at third base.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you know, like I said, I feel like there's a lot of good depth at third, and you know, the one old man river chance that I've got my fingers crossed for is Joey Votto. You know, I would love to see Joey Votto in a Jays uniform. I know how much it would mean to him to play a year for the Jays. You know, one of the most storied Cincinnati Reds. He probably a first ballot Hall. Just genuinely an awesome dude. Like, just the good interactions, the bad interactions with the fans, the whole thing. And if they have a good year,
projected to get a whole $5.5 million this offseason,
it's a no brainer. It's a absolute no brainer.
Even if I pay him what we paid, you know, Kevin Kiermaier last year, $8 million, he's going to hit better than Brandon Belt, even if he's DHing every day.
Yep. And he can still play first base. Where Brandon Belt has no mobility, couldn't play first base to save his life, you at least get a guy who can still play first. Right.
I don't care if he's older. I really don't. There's something about Joey Votto that screams just he's going to be out there one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in this season, this past year, and I think you know where I'm talking about. I think that was when your family went to go to the Reds game when the Blue Jays were there, right?
Yeah.
He went on an absolute tear. It kind of helped carry that team to perennial playoff ballpark.
Yeah.
The Reds had no business being in the playoffs.
If Encarnacion and De La Cruz could have hung on and been as good as they were, they would have made the playoffs. And Joey Votto just took that whole team. And I will say this, Cincinnati, shame on you for not giving him one more. He was looking for his swan song in Cincinnati. He should have been able to do that. You know, there's been other organizations.
I'm perfectly happy to help out where Cincinnati failed.
Yeah, me too.
Here's that. So the guy's got 356 career home runs. He's got over 2,000 hits. This is in today's era of baseball, Jason. There is not many players that have the even collective stat group that I'm looking at here, especially for as many years as he's been good. And like I said, he came off the DL hot.
Yeah.
And then when the team went, he went down.
He's now, I will say this. He's, you know, he certainly hasn't maxed out his games in the last, you know, three of the last 4 years. Like in 2021, he played 129, but 54 in 2020, 91 in 2022, and 65 in 2023. Now that's, you know, partly age and injury and other stuff. But I mean, for $6 million, who gives a crap? Like, I mean, that's it.
But just to be that person, Brandon Belt only got in 100 games to begin with.
Yeah. I mean,
so if he could find that even balance of 80, and, you know, yep, we have somebody else that we could play, you know, we're going to have to find bats for Kirk and Jansen.
Yep.
You know, there's that whole wild card here in this whole bit, too. And I think there's something there that can make that work for the right price. And I think that would be the guy in our locker room that really would bring up the Vlads and Bos and everybody and just gel everything together the way we were hoping it would the last few years. I think the biggest problem in this whole thing is that George Springer is not the only veteran that can have a say on things. And I think he might be in the ballpark of the goofball a little too much and not the, you know, like Joey Votto, I think, that would come in and right the ship. Don't get me wrong.
Buckle it down.
You've seen Joey Votto. He can be the biggest goofball in Major League Baseball.
But he likes to win. He likes to win more than, yeah, he likes to win more than he likes to, certainly likes to lose. And so, I mean, yes, if he's gonna offer them anything, he's gonna offer them the fact that he hates losing. And if he was to come to Toronto, he wouldn't want to be an embarrassment. He wouldn't want to come there, you know, and hit a .127 and, you know, be a liability at first base. You might get the best year of Joey Votto's entire career if this happens.
Yes.
You and I both know that there's that one of the top, you know, he's a top player. He's still got gas in the tank. I mean, it could be a perfect storm for him to, you know, Kevin Kiermaier it, for no lack of a better way to, you know.
I'm going to quote one of my favorite of baseball movies for you. And I'm going to see if you can remember a name of the movie. I don't care what you did in your career. I want to milk the last of every little baseball juice out of you that we can for this year.
Yeah. It's, it's funny when you get like, it's unreal to sort of think, about some of those guys who've done it. Some, you know, like there's certainly been some guys, and then like your Adam Wainwrights and stuff like that, you know, the one thing he hasn't done is pinch hit. And so they let him pinch hit this year, you know, like, I mean, just fun stuff like that. And what movie was that from? I can't remember.
Moneyball. He was talking to David Justice.
Oh, right. David Justice. Yeah. That's a good one.
Which is a 6 degrees from Marsha Pyra movie. If you all didn't pay attention that much early in that movie.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's funny too, because you based on some of those analytics, which, you know, we won't get into how they hurt the Jays in the playoffs, but, you know, you could have a real positive experience from the analytics to bring somebody like Votto on.
It would look good. Yeah. I really, you can't get better PR than bringing a guy that literally has done interviews in a Mountie uniform over the years.
Yeah.
In this locker room. Crazy. And then, like I said, he knows how to win, and he's been through everything baseball has to offer except for one damn thing, and that he doesn't have the ring to go with the career, and he has a chance if the Blue Jays pull their head out of their asses and get him on this team.
I don't disagree.
So that's plugging in some of the holes, Jason. So those are some of the positions that the Major League Baseball gods have dealt us in the midst of free agency and everything. Those are holes we have to fill.
Yeah.
In the midst of this, looking at the Blue Jays in collective fashion, where do you
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
See the Blue Jays having to spend the most amount of time this offseason.
Well, you got to replace Ryu. That is number one. So they're going to have to go out and either, you know, whether it's what's his name? The young kid.
Are you talking about the Japanese gentleman?
You know, you love him. He's already on our team.
Bringing Manoah back.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know if you read.
Ricky Tiedman.
Tiedman's who I'm talking about. Tiedman's got a chance, but they still do need to get one other guy. So I read a very interesting article, and I mean, they won't go into what Manoah did, which it boggles my mind that they just won't talk about it. But there was a lot of talk that there's two teams that are very interested in getting him. Now, whether those...
That's that Saudi Arabian team, right?
No. Well, yeah, I mean, that would be a good one. I don't know who you'd get back. You might not like what you get back in that trade.
I just had to say it because there's all this shit all over Twitter. And so, hey, look, you got drafted.
We're going to have to talk about that later. But yeah, I mean,
that's a whole other thing. But it scares me with him. So I'm
the Dodgers. But his workout and the videos, Giants. You've seen him. Yeah, the Dodgers and the Giants have expressed interest in him. Now, I mean, You probably wouldn't get a bag of balls for him, but at least he'd be gone and you wouldn't have to worry about it. And then you could target two starters. I mean, after that, it would be really great to get a lefty bat that, you know, just can crush baseballs. Votto might be able to fill that void a little bit. Gurriel might be able to fill that void a little bit, but it's, you know, it sort of gets down to, it's really hard. I mean, I would say, I don't know. I don't know if there's one spot that I would pick as being the linchpin. I think those two starters are going to be a major, major, major thing. And, you know, to go and have a look via trade or even, you know, the guys that are available, you know, like I really like Jordan Montgomery from the Rangers. He is a UFA.
Love to see him in this rotation.
Oh my God. Yep. And he just seems like such a down to earth dude. You know, it's. I know
he would love to come to the AL East and stick it to the Yankees for trading him in the midst of a playoff race.
Aaron Nola's out there. I like him too. He is a solid pitcher that you can hang your hat on. And I mean, of course, there's Blake Snell, who I mean the Padres can't even pay
they're
their
not so
rent.
Budgeted.
Yeah, they can't even pay their rent in the stadium. So I mean, we could maybe get Soto, Snell, and a two-way deal for just a big old sack of money. you know, so they can,
or just a bunch of prospects. Just trade the farm. Here, you guys take this. Give us Soto and his crazy money. We'll figure the rest out.
Yeah,
because at that point, then that solves our left field problem. Then you put Varsho or whoever in center, and
or Varsho can sell popcorn or something. I don't know. Can he warm up? He could be the. You know what? He could be the bullpen catcher. We got a spot there for him.
Or just the backup catcher, for your point. But to that point, I still think there's something there for Varsho, but he has to do it in spring training and get everybody thinking about something about and flipping the page. And it's going to be a tall ask. It really is.
It is.
That's a lot of pressure on somebody.
Huge. Huge.
If you don't bring back Jordan Hicks, I am worried about this bullpen. That was a problem this year, Jason. And that was in a point where our starters had length 99% of the season outside of the wonderful weirdism what was that Alek Manoah situation that we were just calling out. So in the midst of this, somebody's got to eat up these innings.
Yes.
And I can't say that we have the backfill in the minor league system.
No, I don't think we do either. I think that's definitely a it's definitely a hole. There aren't too many teams out there that have great middle relief. Like it's amazing to me in a game where pitching is so key and so important that so many teams struggle finding middle relievers. And I know it's hard to potentially take a starter and put them there or do other things like that, but I mean if my career is starting to dwindle a bit, but I still got some zip on my fastball, I mean, I'm okay that you want me to pitch from the third to the sixth inning. I get to relax. I don't have to go in and start. I can have some spits and have a Gatorade and then head in. Yeah, I mean.
But on that note, there is a impressive relief pitching class this offseason, highlighted by a former Blue Jay right now in Liam Hendricks.
Yeah.
Josh Hader is a free agent right now, technically. Will Smith, David Robertson, Craig Kimbrell, Matt Barnes is another guy that would be a fun one, I think. Yeah. Nick Martinez, Drew Pomerantz, Joe Kelly. These are guys that would complement Jordan Romano really, really well.
Cowboy Joe.
Yeah, Cowboy Joe. Outside of Josh Hader, obviously, if you bring in Hader, he's taking the job as a closer, especially after finding it again after the whirlwind that was that trade from Milwaukee that really screwed him up, I think, for a mental lapse there at the end of that season. But he came back last year with Josh Hader. Or you could just really, really scrape the bottom of the barrel here and just go fucking wicked old school Blue Jays and get Aaron Loop back.
Loop.
I'm not ready to ride that train again.
No way, man. I'd get down to, Aroldis Chapman,
Matt Moore.
He's a $5 million. He's a $5 million pitcher that can get you some, one or two. There's a few guys in there that are decent. Yeah. Decent dollar wise. You're not crushing yourself.
That helps even us both, I think.
Even Kimbrell at $9 million isn't that bad. Will Smith at $6 million, I'd do that. That's half a haircut for him.
He'll just do that side of his head.
There's a few guys out there.
Yeah, I'm really scared for where, like I said, we don't have that filler.
Jordan Hicks only makes $1.8 million. Hold on,
never gonna get that. That was his last year of arbitration shit.
Oh, okay.
He'll get paid. He'll get paid.
I was like, what? So,
yeah. I didn't see him on the list.
He's way down there.
He's way down, but
he's down.
It's because of where he was. Yeah.
Above Buck Farmer.
He's going to make market value. Yeah. He'll make market value this year for somebody. Oh,
there's decent. My new favorite relief pitcher right there. Buck Farmer from the Cincinnati Reds.
There you go. He actually did have a decent year last year.
I know.
There's just so many guys on this list that are, the reason I think the Blue Jays need to find a way to spend and take Jordan Hicks on in this is because he's the youngest one on this list.
Yeah.
He's got the most miles left. All the rest of these guys, you're paying for a year.
And yes, you're hoping for the best. Top. And you're hoping that they get through without blowing out a disc or blowing out an elbow or, falling in the shower or something strange like that.
playing Guitar Hero and wrecking their hand before the freaking World Series.
Yeah.
Because yes, that happened.
There's been some odd ones. Baseball.
2015 like, White Sox.
Hockey has some weird ones. But, you know, the Joe Sakic one where he put his hand in the snowblower. There's that one. I like that one. But the Major League Baseball always has some weird ones. Like, you know, weird.
Well, just even put another weird one out here. There's guys like Phil Maton who pitched in a couple of the last World Series that are on this list, you know? So I'm not as worried about them finding a reliever, but I think they need a few off of this list.
Not very sexy, but we do need them.
Yes. The biggest catch on that whole thing with me, Jason, is if you're going to fill it internally, you're looking right at Nate Pearson. And I'll give you 50-50 on which Nate Pearson shows up. I think he was trending in the right direction, but still not a sure thing. Or you're dipping into would-be starters in the minor league level, like Yosver Zuetas and the guys that are on the prospect list just under Tiedemann. Even Ricky Tiedemann.
Yeah.
Alec Manoa if the thing goes that direction.
Yep.
Whatever guy doesn't make the fifth spot could be somebody that makes
a reliever. Yep.
And that's the old school montage of Major League Baseball. If you're not good enough to be a starter, that means you're a relief pitcher. That's the old school fun of it, right?
And so, I think you might see some more of that too. I mean, you've got some guys who are getting a little long in the tooth and they've still got deals with teams. And so you may see a guy get moved to some short relief or some mid relief. They still know they can get a couple of innings out of you. And most guys, they're spinning stuff gets dirtier as they get older because they just don't have the a la Harris from Major League, get a little Vaseline ball coming at you.
But to that point, like I said, I just don't see the, there's going to be I think they're going to have to get two or three guys off that list of relief pitchers to be able to really get over the hurdle here.
Yeah.
But if they don't use any of those guys we were just talking about for starting pitchers, outside of the two-way phenomenon that is Shohei Ohtani, who is not going to be able to play until August, probably. Yeah. Maybe a little sooner if he's just DHing, kind of like what Bryce Harper just did at first base over the last bit of the season. He was not expected to be back for having the Tommy John surgery and shit. So that's what Shohei went through at this point. Next on the list are accoutrement of, really good pitchers. But I don't see why in the hell SportTrack seems to think that Clayton Kershaw is still worth almost $40 million a season as the quote-unquote best pitcher outside of Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Aaron Nola is on that list. Yulio Urias, who is probably, in my opinion, the most bang for the buck.
I like him a lot.
Because he's also the youngest.
I got nothing but time for him.
But I don't see the Blue Jays with the payroll they have in their starting pitching already turning around and flipping that bill. But that is what Hyunjin Ryu made this past season. So maybe they technically have the money if they want to stay at the same avenue of ballpark they are.
Is Brendan
paid $20 million this last year?
Is the guy that they picked up from the Cubs, is he a starter or a reliever?
I honestly would have to look. I can't remember.
I'm looking right now.
Brandon outside Little. That, like you, yeah, Brandon Little. But Blake Snell, Eduardo Rodriguez, not the sexiest of names either as far as things go. But then you get into, like we were talking about, Sonny Gray. Is he on the wrong side of it? Maybe.
Yeah.
Jordan Montgomery, I think, is the nice piece to this and a lefty arm too to go
love
with
Jordan
what
Montgomery.
Is now a very not left-handed rotation. Michael Wacha, Stroman. I think he's gonna be more money than we want to pay.
I agree.
He's gonna want more money than he thinks he's worth. Then you get into the Clevingers, the Lucas Giolitos, which honestly, that one might not be a bad idea.
No, he's not bad.
Who's a guy nuggets. Could be an ace.
Yeah,
could
there's
be
a
an
few
ace.
Nuggets.
Maybe you throw a buck at Luis Severino and hope you get the real Luis Severino back.
Yeah.
And just piss the Yankees off. but they're going to need to find a fifth starter. And I can't say that they have that exactly in hand, especially with those couple wild cards. I do think that Ricky Tiedemann is going to take a nice step. But is it going to be the step that we need it to be him that fifth starter come opening day?
Yeah.
would think he's the, oh my God, something went wrong and somebody got hurt, you call up Ricky Tiedemann and you run with it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. I mean, unless he just comes flying out Nate Pearson's another
Which
one.
He who, could.
Yeah. And Nate Pearson's another one who could really impress coming out of training camp this year. I feel like Nate, although it's been said a couple of times before, I feel like Nate is right on the cusp here. He's either going to get it this year and he's going to, you know, he's going to be able to stick and throw and do what he's supposed to do, or it might be the end for him. I mean, it's, you know, you can be a career minor leaguer, but you shouldn't be with the kind of pedigree that guy's got. So, you know, hopefully he can turn it around and they can make something out of it. So, yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there. There's stuff on the vine.
Imagine if Pearson actually finds it enough to be Jordan Hicks.
Yeah, I know.
You wouldn't have the same velocity. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the stuff is that good. It's just a matter of, like you said, he hasn't found that thing to unlock it consistently. We've seen the flashes. I'm very intrigued and still very curious to see what happens with Nate Pearson. But I do think we talked about it even on this show this past season, Jason. He's the heir to the throne of going toward the back end of the bullpen. And you saw it. It was going well for at least 20 innings at the major league level.
Yeah.
And then the hamster fell off the wheel and he never made it back up from Buffalo. Part of that is I think he became the outside guy looking in when you acquire Hicks and all these other guys. And then Trevor Richards figured it out again after coming back for the injury and all that kind of good stuff. But that's where I think. I want to wrap the show. Go ahead.
As soon as I said Nate Pearson got me thinking. So that was just my brain. It was a bit of a, you know, like it boggles my mind that kid can't just get in there and rip. But you know, we got, I don't know. I didn't even look to see if he's pitching anywhere, like if he's in the Mexican league or if he's doing any of that stuff. I'm assuming he is. He's still pretty young. But you know,
that's news I didn't see.
What's that?
Did you see that Stephen Vogt became the manager of the Cleveland Guardians today?
No, I saw something else. I saw that the Yankees or the Mets stole a guy from the Yankees to manage them. I don't know.
The Mets?
I thought so. I thought the Mets took somebody from the Yankees or the Cubs did.
Either way, anytime you steal anybody from the Yankees, I'm fine with it. But the only reason I just saw that is Chris Bassett, obviously being teammates with Stephen Vogt back in the day, was congratulating him on in the family.
Oh, I got you.
Cleveland. So,
the that's cool. This just in, we need the breaking news. The Angels have made an extending offer to Shohei Ohtani, and it is less than Matt Chapman.
Ooh,
$20.3 million.
There it is.
Oh Lord. Craig Council's moving to the Cubs. Holy, they're gonna pay him $40 million.
That's what it was. But to that point, I love Craig Council.
I do too.
I can't believe the Brewers did. That's not that big of a move as far as, you know, the landscape of the whole country here in the United States and Canada, where he could have landed as a coach. That wasn't a very big move from Milwaukee to Chicago.
No.
There was one other piece of Blue Jay news today that we actually forgot to talk about. It pertains to the bullpen conversation we were just having. The Blue Jays did exercise the option on Chad Green.
That's right. Yeah.
So he is a Blue Jay for 24, 25.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that move. I like Chad Green. I think the guy's got ice in his veins. I think given the opportunity of a full year, I feel like he will really perform as a Jay and will, you know, near the end of, you know, in the summertime, we'll be talking about how dominant he has been and the innings he has pitched.
Yeah. And maybe that's the reason at the moment we're not hearing a lot of news on any other bullpen pieces.
Maybe
that's an adder. That's a big adder.
For sure.
You didn't have this season. You imagine having him when we were having to start Trevor Richards for Alek Manoah. You had Chad Green in the bullpen still. You still have somebody like Chad Green that could do this.
Trevor Richards. That made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. That was like you saying Jimmy Garcia from the summer.
There it is. Early Jimmy Garcia. To that point, Jimmy Garcia ended up finishing the season very, very well.
I know.
Props.
And he was so bad.
Pretty damn efficiently earlier in the year.
He was so bad.
So, but is what it is. So, yeah. But that's where it is. And I want to just talk super, super duper. Oh, my God. Theoretical. You threw one out there that the Blue Jays might trade somebody, that if you are trading Vlad to somebody, who are you getting in return? Because that's regardless of what he's been doing. Everybody in Major League Baseball has the same level of praise for Vlad Jr. And I don't think his value is demeaned by the last two seasons at all. What you saw what he did 3 years ago.
And the American team
getting in return if you're getting him.
Oh, God. I mean,
it has to be ridiculous, or it's two or three ridiculous Major League ready guys.
I would say it would be two Major League ready guys and a very high level prospect. I would think it would be a prospect akin to Moreno, you know, at that level where you're taking somebody's top dog from the farm who is only a couple years away. So, I mean, the teams that might be interested in a guy like Vladdy are Arizona. I mean, their first baseman just folded up and died in the Walker. I'm just unbelievably bad in the World Series and not great in the playoffs at all. And defensively, he's about the same as Vladdy. So, you know, if Vladdy could have a turnaround with, you know, with Gabby and with Lourdes, you know, they're kind of the Blue Jays light anyways. You know, that might be a place for Vladdy. I don't see Vladdy going to a place like the Yankees or it's not in him to shave his dreads. It's not in him to cut his beard. It's not in him. So then you have to start to look at the teams that, you know, LA Dodgers. Yes, for sure. You know, I think he would thrive in that, you know, in a heavy Spanish speaking market. You know, even the Giants, like there's teams that need for, it's funny because the corners are what's hot right now. I mean, you need first baseman and you need third baseman around the league. They don't have strong, and typically those are your two highest paid guys on the team. So, I feel like if you were to, the Dodgers don't have a ton of stuff to offer back, I don't think right now. I don't know their farm system well enough, but I mean, if the Giants sure do. The Giants have lots of prospects and lots of good young players. Even a team like Seattle, like, I mean, I would hate to see him go there, but I mean, Seattle's got the prospects, they've got the money, and they've got the availability to get rid of it. And who do they have? Ty France?
Yeah, Ty France.
He's terrible. So, I mean, you know, and how much would Vladdy love to be a Mariner? I mean, it's a great place to play. It's very similar to Toronto. You know, it's he would be welcomed with open arms.
You still haven't answered my question though. Who are you getting? I'm just playing.
It'd be so ridiculous. I feel like so. Let's hypothetically say, let's hypothetically say it's you know, it's Seattle. So you're probably getting, I mean, you're certainly not getting J-Rod, but you're getting maybe Suarez from third. And maybe, you know, one of their good young outfielders. And then I don't know their prospect system, but I know they have a couple of smoke throwers down in the minors, that you might be able to get your hands on. There's lots of teams, man. I mean, look at the Mets. The Mets are a mess. You know, are they going to start fishing for stuff like this? For sure. They need somebody to, I mean, they blew it this year, and they need somebody that they can put their hitch their cart to this year and try and become relevant again.
So you want to hear my where I was going, and I'm glad absolutely you didn't go there. I'm looking at a certain cannonball that the Blue Jays could literally splash here, and that is you steal Key Brian Hayes and Brian Reynolds from the Pirates for Vladdy.
Well, they owe us one too.
Probably a prospect.
They owe us one.
It would be something like that. I think you're going to take on a pile of money, some good Major League Baseball players, and like you said, a prospect for Vladdy and maybe some chunk change in the minor league system too.
And I'd love to be able to.
But just so you, before all the Blue Jays fans start blowing up the freaking voice chat and everything, I'm not saying this is going to happen.
I am. I'm saying he's going to get traded. So blow it up all you want.
There it is. This is why this is a 50-50 conversation, man.
Yeah.
So, but to that point, I don't know. And to that point, this offseason for Blue Jays fans could be very interesting or very, very, very boring.
Yeah.
I don't think there's going to be a lot in the middle.
The start is going to be really bad. The start is going to be, we're going to make a cut like that dude we picked up from the Cubs today. Like, I just went and looked. You don't want to look at his ERA. He's been in three games. His ERA is 4.
You picked up Mitch White was what I saw.
Yeah. 40 his ERA was 40. So, maybe he's got, maybe he's an up and comer, but you know, what he's done in the majors is not, I mean, I think I could get through at least an inning of baseball and not have a 40, ERA, but maybe
I got to have my shoulder fixed before the end of the year.
We'll take that out of the budget. Yeah. We'll take that out of the budget. We'll get that done for you. But yeah, I mean,
it looked like Smalls throwing from right field the first time.
Yeah. I feel like there's going to be some big moves. There's a big, Ohtani is the big fish. And once Ohtani goes, he's going to change the landscape of either the American League or the National League, wherever he lands.
Think about what he's going to do to Major League Baseball. He's hurt. And he's going to get the craziest contract probably in Major League Baseball history.
And you want to hear another one.
That's saying a lot.
I actually feel like Mike Trout might be tradable from the Angels as well this year. I feel like, though Trout has been hurt a lot, I feel like he still is probably still the best baseball player. Yeah. And so, you look at it, there's five or six teams out there that could really use not only, his ability, but him. Yeah, like just Mike Trout being there. And
the Angels have failed Mike Trout. They need to trade
massively. They need to trade him
and put him to a team that he can actually win a goddamn World Series or just be in the freaking
challenge. Like, just have the poor guy looking forward to October for once in his whole career. Like, I mean, talk about just letting somebody wilt on the vine. Like, get it together, trade him. They'll get good value back for him. He'll end up somewhere where he'll be the king of the mountain. And I mean, even the shine's even come off him in Anaheim. Like, I mean, I have friends here who are Trout fans, and they're waning on it now. They're like, man, whatever. Like, I mean, it's so bad. And he's not good enough to move the needle. He is, but they're just so crappy. They just don't, but
he doesn't need at that price range. He doesn't help them.
No,
at all. So
he could help somebody else.
They're going to eat a bunch of his money to turn around and get prospects in that trade from whoever they get. Or they're going to take somebody else's problem that's a shorter problem. Because he is not an unrestricted free agent until 2031, when he would be turning 39 years old. And do you have any idea how much money Mike Trout was making every year until then, Mr. Lyons?
He's 32 or something, or 36 or something insane, isn't he?
35 and a half.
Oh, I was so close there.
And actually, they give him this can't be right. According to Sport Track, they give him a signing bonus of just making sure he keeps that ink wet on the contract of to the tune of 1.6 mil every year.
So I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, could you just sign this here? Refresh the ink.
Lord. Oh, well, I mean,
to that point, I would happily find a way to make Trout on this team.
Yeah. And it's going to get fun. I feel like there's going to be some fun points here where we do get to really spitball a few big names. I feel like some of that stuff's going to change even some of the underliers that weren't mentioned sort of in the main part of that, like Randall Grichuk, I thought when he went to the Angels this year was on fire. And Randall Grichuk is actually a very good baseball player. He could end up back on the Jays. I mean, he's a good outfielder that can hit. And again,
now we need a left fielder, which I think would fit more for him.
Yeah, there. And I mean, he knows that he knows the Jays. He knows the system. He knows the place. I don't know.
There's a lot of worse things that could happen, but I would hope that's not where the Blue Jays are hedging their bet for the offseason here.
No,
because if that's what's happening, I'm sorry to say, Jason, we're probably going to get knocked out first thing in the wild card again in 2024, which is
the race for the wild card.
Any goal right now has to at least be ALCS.
Yeah, I like the fact that, you know, like we've gone past that now, and we the Jays now know, this team now knows that they can't end up in that wild card position. It's too risky. You need to get past it. And, you know, there's a few things that'll push the rock up the hill, and I hope that they can, you know, they can find a few of those pieces.
If they haven't learned it this year, this whole management needs to be gone. Set to pasture.
Gone.
Because in the midst of this whole thing, everybody felt like we got really better. And I think this time last year, going into the offseason, they did, in my opinion, enough to be competitive, but the other teams around them drastically improved.
Yeah.
You can't be a defensive first team in the American League East.
Or no, not anymore.
In my opinion, the American League period right now, because you're not going to be anything more than a wild card team, and barely at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know? So they got to find a way to get that whole string of starting pitching, that whole season like we had at the end of the year. And like I said, maybe that is bringing somebody like Ryu back, or adding whoever to that fifth spot, really shoring it up. It's finding a fucking bat. It's finding
a consistent sprinkling. A consistent bat that wants to be a part of that team.
Correct. There's enough things that could happen this offseason that I think are going to happen, but they need to start attacking these things in the offseason sooner rather than later. Yeah. American Thanksgiving's here in a few weeks. The last couple of years, there's been a move by the end of November that has really set the pace for the offseason. I think this offseason is going to be very in that same ballpark. I don't think it's going to be the Ohtani news that you were alluding to in a minute. But there's going to be something big that happens in Major League Baseball in the next 20, 30 days here.
Yeah.
And it's going to set the tone for this offseason, because here's the other catch, Jason. This year, we don't have to deal with all the lockout bullshit. All the other crap.
Right.
There is a real off season coming.
Yep.
So maybe some plans actually come to fruition here.
Yeah. Wild West.
I know. Yep. There you go. Is there anything you'd like to add before we give our normal chant and get out of here?
No, I'm pretty good.
Good deal. So Blue Jays fans, I don't know if you've noticed, but yes, we are still here. Join us every week. And we've been very happy to have everybody chiming in. We're trying to be more active on Twitter, Instagram. Jason's been doing a good job putting out some goofy videos in his Toronto Blue Jays Halloween beer cart.
Yep.
Fun that he had the other day. You have a very Schneider-esque-ish mustache going, my friend. So yeah, there you go.
the Movember, I usually cheat a little bit, and I'm finally to the point now that I can almost go to the wood, and in like 2 days, I have a pretty solid mustache. So you know, my wife's favorite month of the year. Every single time November rolls around, she's just so excited that I put this lip lettuce on, you know. So
meanwhile, I got this whole thing where I'm like, right now it's like, okay, I haven't trimmed it since November, and it's kind of got like the bullfrog thing going on.
Yeah, it's serious. You got some serious beard going on there, my man.
But we'll see what happens. But to that point, Blue Jays fans, make sure you tune in every week. We are here Mondays at 7 o'clock Eastern time until further notice. If you hear anything different, then you're not in the right place.
Nope.
So we got some fun things coming this off season, including some fun things like we had last week. If you didn't have a chance to check it out, we had our friend Brian Parrup from Mint Cases of Collecting Baseball Cards. We had a very fun show with Jason and I and him this past week. Make sure you check that out on YouTube. It is non-specific to any baseball news. It was just a fun night of talking collecting and baseball cards. And it was a really good time. And Jason, the rest of those packs that Peyton opened, holy crap, killed it.
Really? Nice.
Got Corbin Carroll, rookie gold card.
Fabulous.
All these kinds of things in that bat, in those sets of packs.
That's
so
awesome.
Scored that on the right stop, apparently, that hobby box or 12 packs.
Yep.
So make sure you check that episode out. Jason and I had a great time. And to that point, Jason, have you had a talk on that kind of a thing in a long time?
No, I thought it was great. I thought it was great. And, you know, it's fun because I think it opens up the door for, you know, like Dugout Mugs and Baseballism and a few other guys that we want to reach out to and try and get on. It's not that we want to get more commercial. It's just a different thing to talk about. You know, talking about free agents and talking about, you know, this other stuff is great and we love it. But sometimes it's fun to shut that off and just talk about the other fun parts of baseball. So if there's anybody out there that subscribes or listens, you know, if you've got a cool small baseball company or, you know, if you do anything cool, if you've got a baseball school or whatever, we'd love to hear from you.
Baseball, whatever it might be.
Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. You know, this is the barroom fan side talk. You know, that's what it's supposed to be all about. So the more fans, the merrier.
There it is. So make sure you tune in every Monday. We are live at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Make sure you catch us on YouTube live or any of the other fun places you stream to. And if you miss us during the live show, make sure you get listen wherever you get your podcasting pleasures. We are on every platform at this point. We are the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, and we are the official Blue Jays podcast of jaysjournal.com and Fansided Network. So on that note, 3, 2, 1. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Where's
Thank
Ken?
You for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go, Jays, go.
Woo!
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.